Hey folks, I am just so thrilled today to have Kathy Silva here with me to talk about her ministry, which is working with children in schools. And she has been a blessing. She works at the school that my daughter went to, and she's been a blessing for us and for many, many parents and children that have contact with her. And I'm just so thrilled to be able to have her come and talk with us today and to share her ministry with you all. How are you doing, Kathy?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Well, now tell me a little bit how you got into Christian education.
Okay. Well, I was raised in a Christian home, and I was one of those kids that rebelled and then came back to the Lord sometime during the middle of college. And so I realized then that that kids that are raised in Christian homes have they have some special needs when it comes to their spiritual education. It's real easy to slip away from the Lord when you grow up. And I did some research and I found out that the percentage of kids that leave the church when they get into college, kids that have been raised in the church and raised in Christian homes, is pretty high. And it really started to concern me. So I thought that that intrigued me about getting into education, and Christian education in particular, because we all have hearts for the kids that don't know the Lord. And evangelism is such an important part of our churches. But what I discovered is that the kids that are raised in Christian homes there's a special kind of evangelism that's associated with them. And so that's what intrigued me about Christian education.
You know, that's interesting. When we were looking at a middle school for my daughter and I was interviewing different schools, I asked them, I said, you know, kids that are raised in Christian homes and they go to Christian schools, the whole faith piece can becomes background.
Right.
And it never becomes an active part of their life.
That's exactly right.
And I would ask, how do you counteract that?
And go ahead.
I was just, a lot of them didn't have a good answer. Or, you know, they say, well, we teach them scripture or, you know, but I think it requires a lot more than that.
Well, I think it does too. And I think that it takes a real specific kind of understanding of the issues that they're dealing with. We all tend to freak out a little bit when kids question their faith. We assume that, oh gosh, that's not something that we talk about. That's certainly not something that we question, because then we're very concerned about their salvation. But the truth is that every child needs to come to the point where they make their faith their own. When they're little, they believe everything their parents tell them. When they go to Sunday school and they're little, they believe everything their Sunday school teacher tells them. When they're in kindergarten, first grade, lower grades, they believe everything their teacher tells them. Every single one of them comes to a point where they stop just accepting at face value what we tell them. And that's the point in Christianity, that they need to make that faith their own. They really need to decide what they believe and why they believe. I think that the key is to encourage those kinds of questions and answer them honestly. And then as they get older, to help them to be able to learn how to go to scripture and other resources and find out answers to their questions themselves. In other words, don't take lightly when they're questioning. It's really, really, really important to address those issues. And the thing is, kids come to different realizations at different stages in their development. So you might have a little fourth grader who's asking some pretty profound questions that you just don't feel comfortable talking to in front of the group. Well, gosh, take that child aside and just make sure those questions are answered. The other thing is, I think that their Bible curriculum, and then just throughout the course of their learning, they need to learn how to defend their faith. They really need to be given specific answers in why we believe what we believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my daughter is just starting to go through that phase of questioning, and I think there's also a tendency for parents to kind of freak out. And go, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with this?
No, that's right. We do. But the thing is, I think we need to welcome that, because if they never go through that, we can never be 100% certain that they've actually made that commitment to the Lord themselves.
Well, then, when you talk about being able to defend the faith, mm-hmm. what specific kinds of things can parents do to encourage that?
Well, you know, make sure that we have the answers. If your child asks you a question, especially a faith-related question, you don't know the answer, You know, for example, how do we know that the Bible really is the inspired word of God? Those kinds of questions are really important, mm-hmm. and kids need to have answers. It's not a horrible red flag that goes up thinking, oh my goodness, my child's not saved because they have this question. It's a valid question, and if we don't know the answers, find out. We ourselves need to go and find out. There's tons of great resources. You know, Lee Strobel's Case for Faith and Case for the Creator and those kinds of books are wonderful. More Than a Carpenter is a wonderful book. There's lots and lots of materials on the shelves. We can go to a pastor or go to a teacher you trust, somebody that you can sit down and research those answers so we can give our kids intelligent, to the point answer to the questions.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so wise, because there's such a tendency. It's almost like having the sex talk with your kids.
Right,
there's a
is.
Tendency to want to avoid it or downplay it or postpone it forever.
Right.
And because then what happens is you come right up against your own questions about faith.
That's exactly right.
So how wise that is. And are you able to do that in the work you do at the school?
Yes, and it's funny because the lessons that I actually plan that target those kinds of things are not generally the most successful lessons. But it's when the questions come up in the course of the day, or you know, maybe associated with a particular book we're reading, or I mean it can be almost at any time. Math even, you know, because it's orderly and kids will, you know, talk about origins of certain ideas and so forth. It when it comes up during the day, I'll tell you, it's more important to stop and get those questions answered and use that as an opportunity. You kind of have to be ready. You have to be ready for the questions, know that they're coming. Also, you need to create an environment that's comfortable enough for the kids to feel that they can ask those questions. Mm-hmm. If, you know, we are their teachers, we're not their best friends, but we certainly... you know, we love them, and we certainly, in other words, there's a line there. We have to, you know, be firm. We have to make sure we're covering a certain amount of curriculum. But I'll tell you, we need to be available, and they need to know they can trust us.
Mm-hmm.
That comes with experience and, you know, their experience as they spend time with us. So we need to be warm. We need to be friendly, and we need to encourage them being able to come to us with issues. So you have to have that environment in place. And then when those questions come up, you need to answer them. Or if you don't know the answer, then you need to tell them, be honest with them and say, you know what, I don't have exactly the answer that I want to give you right now, but you need to get it right away and you need to come back with them, back to them with the answer in the next day or two.
Mm-hmm. Before the whole topic kind of disappears.
Sometimes it does, but you know, I really believe that the purpose of Christian education is to prepare each child for the to go out and for the plan and the purpose that God has created them for. And if we keep that goal in mind, I mean, that's kind of it in a nutshell. In fact, that really is the goal of anyone who comes in contact with the child. That's the parent's goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Sunday school teacher's goal. That's the pastor's goal. That's the you know, anybody who is given the Awana teacher's goal, anybody that has a responsibility for that child, any Christian person, we need to be doing what we can within the little bit of time that we have the kids to help prepare them for whatever plan God has for them. And that is the primary goal. And, of course, that includes getting an education. That includes knowing how to read and write and mm-hmm. do their math. Yeah.
Well, what I remember about you was that you had a special gift with children who had special needs, either in terms of they needed more challenge in the classroom or they needed help.
Well, thank you for saying that. I will tell you, the Lord has absolutely blessed me with the best job anybody could have in the entire world, because I absolutely love my job, and I consider it every day I get up and I thank the Lord because I consider it a gift from him. At our school, Horizon Christian Academy, we have a special program called the Power Learning Program. This is my 23rd year, and the program's been in place for about 25 years.
Wow.
It's set up to meet the needs of anybody who cannot, who needs something different than what's being offered in the regular classroom. That can either be in terms of remediation, or it can be in terms of kids that would be need something, some challenges, perhaps students that would be identified as GATE or seminar in the public school system. So it's a wonderful, wonderful mix. We have third through sixth graders in the program. We have one teacher, which is me, and two wonderful aides. And the thing is, we small group the kids. They're not all in there at the same time. But what we do is we teach their core subjects, reading, language, and math. Now, the thing that makes it so wonderful is that you realize when you work with kids that are at both ends of the learning spectrum, what you realize is that academic gifts are just one kind of gift mm-hmm. that the Lord gives mm-hmm. kids.
Yes.
You know? He creates each one, with particular, we know that he has created each one of the children with a particular plan and a purpose, and he's given them exactly what they need to be developed in order to fulfill that plan and that purpose. And some of them have academic gifts, and that's great because school, then the academic part of school is easy for them, and that's wonderful. Others have other kinds of gifts, and the academic part of school is difficult for them, but each one is just as valuable as the other, and just really wonderful, wonderful kids. And when you have the mixture of them like that, you really realize how remarkable God's creation is and how diverse.
Mm-hmm.
But one not being more valuable than the other.
What a blessing you are to the kids.
Oh, well, thanks. They're a blessing to me, truly. It's and the whole program is a blessing. It's an expensive program, and it's just a real, real gift to our school. We're just really happy that the Lord has allowed us to continue with it.
You know what you need to do next?
What?
You need to write a book.
Oh, gosh.
No, I'm serious. The whole concept of teaching children to be able to defend their faith is a very important issue. And I don't know of anything out there that really would help parents take that walk with their kids. You know, everybody's doing it kind of by the seat of their pants.
Well, that is true, and the anointing of the Lord. You know, that's it would be wonderful to have some kind of a resource that specifically targeted that. You're absolutely right. That
mm-hmm.
would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pray about it.
But we're not talking you into it today, I can tell.
No. You've always been very encouraging too, and I appreciate that.
Well, I think what you do is just a wonderful thing, and it would be just great if we could have about 100 of you
and
pop you into schools all over the city.
Well, thank you.
Can you tell us about some of the miracles you've experienced in your classroom?
Well, you know, it's been a long time, and I will tell you, the thing that blesses my heart the most is when I see the kids come back. I have lots of kids that come back and visit and check in from time to time, and that's just so wonderful because even the ones that have been through kind of a rough period when they got into high school or perhaps after they graduated from high school and they've come back, it's just an amazing thing. But I can think of one young man in particular. His name was Kelvin. His name is Kelvin. And when he was with me in my program, he was just started out as a little stinker, and he would be the first one to agree with that. He did not want to be in Christian school, and he was losing his hearing. So he was hard of hearing. They found out later that it was a particular disease or illness that he had. And also he had been identified as being dyslexic. So this poor guy was just ticked off about the whole thing. He was mad at everybody at the school, and he was mad at God for having created him this way.
Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful thing is that working with him, he has just become the most incredible young man of God. But interestingly enough, what we found out in the last, say, 5 years or so is that the same disease that is taking his hearing is also now taking his sight. And so this young man is going to be I think he's 22 now. He's going to be blind and officially deaf. Now he will be able to hear some sounds with a hearing aid, which would just be, can you imagine how anybody would react to that, especially a young guy? I mean, he can't play football anymore. He can't play soccer. He can't drive. Oh my goodness. The poor kid can't drive. He can't do all the things that he loved to do, but he absolutely is rejoicing in the Lord because he recognizes that God has a plan and a purpose in all this.
Praise
and
God.
He uses every opportunity that he has to share his faith. He's got a wonderful dog named Jerry now. He's been to Helen Keller Institute, and he has a dog. And he's actually told me that we talked about what if he could be healed, and he's actually said that, you know, unless the Lord can use him in a bigger way, if he was healed, he would prefer to stay the way he is. So that's an example of a child that came in super angry, and it was just really, he was such a blessing to all of us because we saw the transformation of the Lord through just, you know, loving him and designing a program that, you know, really targeted his learning needs. And so that he's a very dramatic miracle. And
yes.
Just wonderful. And we're still really good friends. He's in college now, and he emails me all of his papers to edit. So
oh.
I love it. I love it. It's fun. We've had, you know, without mentioning specific names of kids that have been in the class more recently, we've had, I can think of one young man who was just super, super bright and just academic gifts off the scales. In fact, I believe that he was the highest, had the highest score of any person on our entrance test when he came to our school. Just an amazing child, but absolutely lacking in other areas, social areas, and just understanding how to use his gifts and according to the way the Lord would want him to, and to be humble and use his gifts in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seen him, he just graduated, and he's moved on to another school that is really well known for its academics, and he's doing well. But he left us as just a person who appreciated, who was thanking God for the gifts that he'd given him, but appreciating everybody else, and just a warm, kind, wise, but very, very understanding and accepting person. And that was a miraculous transformation and just a delight to see, because now here's a person who can grow up, go to college, do something, you know, the Lord has different plans for us. Some of them are kind of, very, exciting, and the people become famous and do something miraculous, and others of us have ministries and work to do that are more quiet. Well, perhaps this young man might do something that's really sort of in the forefront at some point, and maybe not, but he will definitely be someone who serves the Lord in meekness and humility and with the kind of attitude that he should have. So that's extremely exciting to see that. So those are two examples of people that are from opposite ends of the learning spectrum.
How wonderful. Those stories are just so, what a blessing. Yeah. What a blessing they will be.
Yeah, and I know the Lord really has his hand on them. And then you can see how God in his infinite wisdom and just amazing ability to work in everybody's life and heart in the middle of a situation. Mm-hmm. Everybody grows. Everybody benefits when the Lord's at work. You know, the teachers, the students, the parents, the friends, everybody. So
yes.
It's pretty wonderful.
Yeah. Do you have a scripture passage that kind of inspires you or guides you or that you sort of lean on?
Gosh, yes, actually many. But as far as the for my career, for my classroom, Jeremiah 29:11 is just so wonderful. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. Not to harm you, to give you a hope. That's a familiar passage, but boy, it really applies. And it's very easy to see the validity of that scripture when you look at someone who is very academically gifted and just excels.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Sometimes there are kids that just pretty much excel in almost every area.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as easy to have faith in that verse when you see the little one that just seems to struggle in so many areas.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It applies to everybody. And God did not create one little person to have a much easier time in school because you like that one better, and then the other one to have a tough time and to have profound learning disabilities because he didn't like that one. He created them the way they are because he loves them both and because he has a significant plan for each one. And each one is just as valuable to him. And that's the wonderful thing about it, about working with kids at both ends of the spectrum. You really see the value in the kids with the academic giftings and the kids that have other giftings.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I love is James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Wisdom, we talk a lot about knowledge and understanding, of course, in school. But real wisdom is something that is over and above that. We learn math facts and we learn phonics and we learn how to construct good paragraphs and so forth. But wisdom and understanding from the Lord is so much more valuable. And that really has to be our primary target. And interestingly enough, it's done in the words that the Lord chooses here, the meekness of wisdom. Wisdom is humble and meek and recognizes that it's a gift from God as mm-hmm. opposed to something that we can be puffed up about. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Well, what a wonderful spot you have in people's lives.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm blessed.
it's really a wonderful thing. If there are people out there that are interested in talking with you about any special learning situations they're dealing with, could they email you?
They sure could. And again, I certainly don't pretend to be the definitive authority, but I have been at this a long time and seen lots of kids. And I do feel that the Lord has revealed certain insights, and I would be delighted to share those. Absolutely.
Great. So what's your email address?
It is HorizonK. HorizonK at AOL.com.
Great. And they would just make it attention?
That's my personal email.
Oh, that's your personal one on Horizon. Okay, great.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking with us today. It was just a real treat.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate any opportunity to talk about the Lord.
Speak to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.